All right, welcome back. My name is Jason Carello. I'm sitting with Russell Arbuthnot. We are Pucked in the Head, sports fans with big mouths. And in this segment, we're going to talk a little bit about the Women's World Cup.
The Women's World Cup.
Now, I've been at many of the matches in Vancouver.
I have not been to any of the matches in Vancouver or elsewhere.
But you have watched many of them on the magic box in your living room.
I have, yes. I have watched quite a few. Well, a handful.
So, just on the whole, what was your impression of the tournament?
I thought it was very entertaining. Obviously, I was biased towards the Canadians, and I thought they did a good job.
Big homer.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it was a success in large part. Broke records for international attendance or international sporting events and the attendance.
Yeah, I was really impressed with the games here in Vancouver. Had more fans than any other national team game mm-hmm. in the history of the country. Simply because, I mean, I'm sure if we put a Team Canada Olympic gold medal hockey game in a football arena,
right.
we'd break that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
the fact is, we generally play.
You can't do any better than a sellout.
They sold the place out, 54,000 people
yeah.
For the Canada versus the dirty, rotten, stinking Brits
mm-hmm.
In the quarterfinals. But from the quarterfinals onwards, I thought this was really entertaining football.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, yes, you're correct. I mean, the obviously some of the round robin games featuring some lowly teams. Obviously,
but you get that in the Men's World Cup as well.
Yeah, probably not quite to the same extent.
Well, certainly you're not getting
8-0.
You're not getting 10-0 scores.
Yeah.
But you get that in. I think we've talked about it in a previous
episode.
Show
yeah.
where you take a look at the dream team in basketball when
right,
they went
yes.
to the Olympics for the first time.
Yeah.
They destroyed everybody.
Yeah, the discrepancy between the top flight teams and the lower flight teams is huge.
Absolutely massive. Certainly in hockey.
Yeah.
We see it every year in the Spengler Cup. A couple of teams get blown out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
In women's hockey, especially.
Women's hockey, especially, yeah.
Now there's four teams who can compete, but pretty much it's the U.S. and Canada.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, once the knockout round started, I think the quality of play went up, which should go without saying. I was thoroughly entertained. I think the best teams have turned out to be the best teams. France played really, really well, got knocked out. Germany played really, really well, but still got knocked out. Canada did as good as probably what anybody could really expect from them. I mean, certainly
well, before the tournament, this is what the coach Herdman basically said. You know, we should get to the quarterfinals,
yeah.
and they did. They could have tied or won that game against mm-hmm. England, but for
just a couple minutes of.
Three
mental
minutes
errors.
Of mental lapse in
yeah.
that first half. Poor Sesselman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she is not the strongest defensive back. She's there because she's got a good left foot for free kicks and putting the ball forward.
Mm-hmm.
As a defender, she's not the strongest.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and she worked. She is coming off injury too. She worked really, really hard to come back from that. So I mean, there's got to be a little bit of rust. For lack of a better term.
And certainly, she's not the only one. I mean, Tancredi had a couple of glorious chances, but she just has not gotten her touch back since having her a couple of years off to go back to school.
Yeah. And Sophie Schmidt, too, which is, I mean, that was basically Canada's issue throughout. There was really no primary scoring, let alone secondary scoring. Any of the scoring that did come for Canada was virtually all secondary scoring, and you can't have that in the tournament. And the Christine Sinclair was leaned on to score.
And she only scored twice.
Only scored twice, once off of the PK, which you know, she's put in that spot, so good on her for converting. But
and to be fair, I mean, on any team, the best player takes the PKs, and that's in their goal total at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But she didn't score. She wasn't a threat for most of the tournament. She was not a threat from the run of play.
No.
She had her best game in that quarterfinal against England.
The majority of the team really wasn't. I mean, the chances that they had were squandered. I think Sophie Schmidt probably had, well, had certainly one of the best chances against England, and saw it sail way over the bar from about 8 yards out, 10 yards out, and she was another player who was sort of counted on to provide that scoring. So, but again, that being said, I mean, this is realistically the hopes on Team Canada lied upon, you know, them playing in front of home crowds and having that home field advantage, and it I think it probably carried them further than probably they should have gone for.
They were
for
definitely.
Much of it.
I think they were lucky to get past the Swiss.
Yeah, I agree.
But they only scored 4 goals in the entire tournament.
Yeah,
so
which is pretty difficult to expect a championship when you're only scoring a goal a game.
Well, and that's not even a goal.
Not even a goal a game. Yeah.
Then you've got teams that were extremely classy, had loads of quality, and they just booted it. I mean, France should have beaten Germany. They dominated that quarterfinal. Yeah.
And what, that was a great. That was still a great game too.
Somehow they managed to find a way to lose.
Yeah,
and Germany just didn't bring it. They were the second best team 3 games in a row. They didn't. They did not deserve to win that match against the United States at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Americans were lucky. Their draw.
Well, the turf for the Americans was so much harder than everybody else.
They really did have a hard time with that turf. And to be fair, the grass was always leaning against them.
It was. I noticed
every
it.
Every field, every pitch they were on. So getting into the final, Japan and the U.S.
USA.
Third time in a row they've met in a major final. Do you think, was Japan lucky to win 4 years ago? Because they lost the Olympic gold and now they lost this final.
Lucky in that they managed to equalize. For those who don't know, they scored in the States took a late lead, and Japan scored in extra time to tie it up, and then they went through their overtime period, and then
this is in 2011.
Yeah, and then Japan won in shootout.
But they did that both in regulation time and in the extra period.
Right, correct.
Because they scored late to send it to extra time.
Yeah.
Abby Wambach scored in the first half of extra time. Japan scored in stoppage time of the extra period.
Yes, yeah.
And then Japan won on penalties.
On penalty kicks, yeah.
It was a spectacular
game.
Lucky
in that regard.
It was a spectacular game. But now, the U.S. came back and won the Olympic gold medal against Japan the following year.
That's right.
So now the U.S. wins again. And so now the U.S. really felt like they had something to prove.
Yeah.
They had to come in and beat, because they felt like they were robbed in 2011.
Yeah.
Why is it these two teams? They are not so much better than the Germans or the French.
Yeah, that's true.
Why are these two teams always left standing at the end?
I mean, I would have to go back into history, but I would like to check out the matchups to get to these finals. They managed to rise to the top, I guess. Big game players.
Technically, the Japanese are a superior team. They're far and away the best technical team of any in the world.
Yeah.
And I was watching some of their training. It's just outstanding. They actually had one of their assistant coaches would call out a certain distance for them to practice slide tackles. And they would, so he'd say a meter and a half in Japanese, I guess. And they would run in and they would do a slide tackle, and he would actually estimate, oh, okay, you were about 30 centimeters short on that slide tackle. So they were going in, and it was like watching players in spring training practicing their slide into second base on a steal.
Yeah.
Like, just so precise.
Yeah, that's remarkable.
In their movement. It really is remarkable.
How are you able to watch that training session? I just heard many reports of people who, I mean, there was a reporter from the province who was actually not there to cover the training session. His children were playing soccer on an adjacent field. basically turned around and saw, I believe it was actually the Japanese, and saw that they were training and sort of walked over, not looking to get quotes, not looking to write an article or anything, just sort of wanted to observe, and he was turned away immediately by officials.
And as I said,
and he wasn't the only one. There's been multiple reports.
Yes, yeah, some of the training sessions are open, and that's mandated by FIFA.
Mm-hmm.
That the, for example, that the T-minus 24 hours are open to the public, or not the public, sorry, open to the media. And you have to remember, this was several months long, the process to become accredited for this tournament. So it's not just the local media that shows up,
right,
with a microphone in hand. These are people who have been vetted by FIFA over a long period of time, and you've got to have that badge on. If you go anywhere near a field, you've got to have that badge on.
Right.
If you don't have it, get out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I went to one of the Japanese training sessions, and they are exacting. And one thing is also very interesting, they didn't show it on TSN, is after each game, the Japanese, now I don't know if they do this after a loss, because they didn't lose any here at this tournament, but if they, when they win, excepting the final, of course, I'm talking about during the group stages and during the quarters and the semis and everything else, they actually play like these keep away games, the type of stuff you normally do an hour before the game.
Mm-hmm.
They do that after the match.
Hmm.
So they, you know, they applaud the crowd and they do their glad handing publicity thing. But then they just have fun.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, we played a game. We played really well. We'll go ahead and let's play this little game.
Yeah. It gets their conditioning up as well.
And I mean, it's just the same as, you know, hockey players playing volleyball or soccer in the hallways underneath the stadium, you know?
Yeah.
It was actually a big problem in the first game that they played here against Switzerland, because FIFA says media is not allowed to leave the pitch until all the players have cleared the pitch. So if they stick around signing autographs, the media, the photographers have to stay on the pitch and wait for them to finish.
Hmm.
The Japanese were out doing this game on the pitch, and we're all like, dude, I want to leave. I'm hungry. Another thing, FIFA, can you believe this?
So did you you guys had to wait, or did they make an exception?
We had to wait, and they had to radio up to security. They had to do all this stuff, and they made a call. We waited 45 minutes, and finally they said, you can go. Another thing, in order to take pictures at a FIFA World Cup game,
you have to go early, right?
We have to be in the building a minimum of three hours before kickoff.
Yeah, that's crazy.
To get our seat assignment. There's no food available, and on the first day, they told us we were not even allowed to go onto the concourse and buy our own food.
That's nuts. So
it was a doubleheader.
Yeah, that's.
I was there for 8 hours.
Yeah.
With no food at all. They only gave us bottles of water.
Wow.
And then they were telling us, no, you've got to wait for 45 minutes before you leave, because the team is playing footsie with each other over there.
You really slugged it out, Jason.
I tell you, like, I actually have a pretty good time with it. I thought it was hilarious. But there were some
people who were livid. Yeah.
They were so upset. Okay, so the Americans win. What does this mean for football? Does this mean that is it just a case of the loud, proud Americans are the champions?
Again?
And everyone kind of goes, or has this tournament moved the women's game forward?
I think it has in North America, certainly. I can't speak for, you know, internationally. I don't really know what the state of women's football is in England or Germany or France. I would assume it's bigger than it certainly is in Canada or was.
Well, as we discussed earlier, the international viewing numbers in the nations for these teams, the United States, France, England, all of these teams, the numbers are higher than they've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
Now, part of that is just the fact that it's actually been broadcast.
Yes, that's true.
Which in North America wasn't always broadcast in the past.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think for Canada, it's pretty exciting, really. I think some of the luster may have may have kind of been washed off at the end, just in how they how the Canadian team was eliminated. But that being said, on the whole, it's got to be. I mean, the girls at home, and that's what it is. I mean, that's what was driving a large part of that attendance was the young girls dragging mom and pop out to the stadium. You know, I really want to go see the Canadian team play. I really want to go see the World Cup games, right? I mean, they're certainly going to be turned on to soccer, and hopefully, and I would even say probably, there's only good things to come from here on out.
Well, certainly some of the players on the team, look at Kadisha Buchanan,
mm-hmm.
who was a rock on the back end.
I would say the Canadian team's best player.
She was definitely the best player on the pitch against England, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And she was nominated as one of the three young player for the Young Player Award. She was spectacular in that final game. Did not play like a 19-year-old at all.
Nope.
Just a rock back there. And she had a great tournament.
Yep.
Also, Ashley Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ashley Lawrence is really interesting. She reminds me actually a lot of Darren Maddox.
Mm-hmm.
Because she gets the ball and she'll just run fearlessly forward, but she'll run straight into the defender.
Into a defender, yeah.
And she just doesn't have a lot of touch on the ball.
Yeah.
So much potential.
She has to get reined in a little bit.
But, yeah, she needs to really choose her spots. And Kakuta Mane as well for the Whitecaps has that same kind of thing
mm-hmm.
where he's starting to figure out how exactly to play against these top defenders.
Yeah, there's strategy that has to go into your attack, whether it's individual or as a team. So, I mean, and that's only going to happen with age and experience and growth. And certainly, again, being able to play in a tournament like this against the other best teams in the world is only going to help them achieve their potential.
Of course, Christine Sinclair is on the back end of mm-hmm. her career.
But what a career. I mean,
she basically created Canada soccer.
Yeah, the team being where it's at now is basically because of her. And many of the players on the Canadian national team roster basically credit her for getting them interested in soccer and becoming passionate about it.
It's pretty remarkable. It is really amazing what she has done in her time, because women's sport in general, but in specifically soccer in Canada, has come so far on both the men's and women's side since she started.
She could very well be Canada's most recognizable soccer player. Forget
I would say so.
Yeah, I would say so too, which is pretty remarkable, because what other sport can you say that about?
Yeah, just a remarkable career, and whether she hangs it up soon or whether she sticks around for another World Cup.
I think she'll be there for one more.
It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's all the time we have. Thank you very much, Russell. We'll come back after the break. We'll come back with some more timers.
Sounds good. I woke up in the rain on some old couch in the lane. I heard the drunken voices dragging on some old refrain, but I'm climbing back on the train. Can explain if you'll just let me speak plain. I've got to sit and wait for my mouth to catch up to my brain. Time is spinning clockwise.